All across the country, different parts, and even different parts around the world, beautiful flowers are growing right now, all different shapes and sizes and beautiful colors. There's also plants and vegetables that are growing, tomatoes and strawberries and other things that we like to eat. And you may be thinking, I didn't see any of those on the way to the church building this morning. It's the winter time. Those things are not growing outdoors. And that's right, they're not growing outdoors, but they are growing indoors. There's a lot of beautiful plants and vegetables right now growing in greenhouses. And this morning I want to talk about God's greenhouse. Before we moved, when we were in the big metropolis of Cedar Hill, Tennessee, in the next county over, the back of our property bordered a farm field, and across that farm field was South Central Growers, the Vander Hinst family. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but they're Dutch. We think of the Dutch, those from Holland. We think of Holland, we think of two things, windmills and what? Tulips, right? The Dutch like to grow flowers. South Central Growers is run by some Dutch folks. When they started, there was a farmhouse out in the field and one greenhouse. Now they have over 100. Driving up and down 41 multiple times back and forth through those years, we would see them adding on. Every few years, they would add on more and more greenhouses. And they're growing beautiful flowers and plants there right now. The Amish and Mennonite are doing the same thing. So in a couple of months from now, when you go to Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and up here at the co-op, there's some beautiful plants and flowers that have been growing in the dead of winter because they've been inside a greenhouse. A protective area. And when you buy those plants at Lowe's and Home Depot, if you'll notice on the side of the container there, there'll be a little sticker. And sometimes it'll say South Central Growers. That came from the next county over in Springfield, Tennessee. A lot of times folks will go up to the co-op and they'll say, I want those tomatoes that were grown by the Mennonites. Those are the good ones. And they'll tell you where those are. They're growing them right now. You know, as you go up Trenton and Pembroke, up in that area, they've got their greenhouses and they're growing those plants right now. You don't see them outside because it's wintertime. They're growing indoors. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about God's greenhouse. What are greenhouses? What are their purpose? Greenhouses are built to be protective, controlled environments. And God has His protective, controlled environments. And I want to talk about that this morning. In the wintertime, especially when the weather is very cold, you can grow plants. If you'll keep them in a protective, controlled environment. Sometimes these greenhouses are made out of thin plastic. You can build your own. You can buy the kits with the arches and then you put the plastic over it. People do that. Or it might be plexiglass or glass. It's a controlled environment. You're trying to keep some bad things out and you're trying to keep some good things in. For example, you want to keep out the cold weather. The ice and the cold rain. A couple of days ago, Carla and I were running errands in town and you're in and out of the car, going in and out of the store, and that rain was cold, right at that freezing point. You're trying to keep out especially that cold weather, for example. You're also trying to keep out things like bugs and blight and mildew and disease. You're trying to keep that on the outside, so you keep that greenhouse closed off. There are doors and windows that are controlled, and temporarily you can let some outside influence in, but typically you want to keep that shut off. You're trying to keep some bad things out. But you're also trying to keep some good in.
So when you're growing those little seeds, you're trying to control the climate indoor. You're trying to control the temperature. If it's in the dead of winter, you're trying to keep that area warm. And you're trying to control the moisture factor, make sure that those plants are getting plenty of moisture and fertilizer and food and those types of things. You're trying to keep the bad out, and you're trying to keep the good in. And it does a great job. Because come April and May, you're ready to buy those plants. They've been growing right now. And you're ready to set those out and get going. You can get a jump on the growing season if you'll buy plants that have been protected in this greenhouse environment. Do you know that God has a greenhouse? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. God has a controlled, protective environment in a very violent and hostile world. When you have a greenhouse, you're trying to take these little plants, these little seedlings, and you're trying to mature them so one day they can stand on their own. When you plant a seed and it's just very small, it might just be a very little bit above the ground, you set that thing out in February or January, the cold is just going to zap it, it's going to be gone. You have to take that little young, childlike seedling and you have to grow it and mature it till it can get on up there, and then you can set it out and it can handle the temperature, and it might be able to handle some days without rain, and it can handle if some bugs land on it, because it's gotten mature, it's gotten grown. A greenhouse is a place where you mature things, you grow them until they can stand on their own. You can't just set that out when it's just a little seedling, it'll get zapped. And so the whole purpose of that is to have a controlled, protective environment until that which is mature can stand on its own. And in the same way, we're going to see this morning that God has His greenhouse. And He wants us to mature and grow so that we can stand on our own. After 9/11, our government set up the Department of Homeland Security. We were reminded in a very stark way that external terrorism can affect us and threaten us, and it's a wake-up call that even we are vulnerable like anybody around the world. And so we set up this Department of Homeland Security. We're going to see this morning God's original homeland security. We're going to see that God has environments in which we can be safe and secure in a very hostile world. This morning I want to ask the question, how can we survive and thrive in today's wicked world? And I add the word thrive because I don't believe we should get up each day and just exist and just barely make it through. We need to survive, but we also need to thrive and grow. How can we do that? We can do that through God's greenhouse. So I want you to think about that when you drive home this afternoon. You're not going to be seen outside your home or anybody else's home. You're not going to be seeing the beautiful plants and flowers and all kinds of roses blooming. There's a few buttercups trying to make their way out, but you're not going to see the beautiful flowers yet. It's not time for that. But they are growing in greenhouses right now, in protective environments. And we'll buy those things in the spring and we'll set them out. What is God's greenhouse? Well, turn with me to the scripture reading that Carlin had earlier in Psalm 127. I would suggest to you this morning that the home, as God designed it, is God's greenhouse. And we need to be building homes in such a way that God is the builder of that home. Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep or guard the city. Circle that in your Bible. We're talking this morning about guarding some things, protecting some things, and God needs to be in that picture if it's to be successful. And then the psalmist goes on to talk about our children in verse 3, 4, and 5. I would suggest to you this morning that the home as God designed it, not as the world has messed it up, but as God designed it, you know what that is? That's a greenhouse. That's exactly what that is. There are parents here this morning that are keepers of the greenhouse. We as parents this morning are keepers of a greenhouse, and I believe our parents here this morning are doing a good job. We have young Christians, we have Christians up college age and everywhere in between, and we see them growing and maturing and being faithful. And I'm confident that we'll see more young people be baptized into Christ here. Why? Because parents are greenhouse keepers. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the proverb writer says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child, and then the latter part says, when he is old. From child to old age. What is that process? Where is that taking place? In the home as God designed it, it's taking place in a greenhouse. A protective, controlled environment. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 with regard to Jesus' youth. Jesus had parents who watched over him, and even though he was the divine Son of God, he was raised and he grew in a typical home environment. And we find in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, they come down to Nazareth, and he, Jesus, was subject unto them, that is, Mary and Joseph, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The basic areas of child development and growth, Jesus experienced that in a home environment with a loving mother and father. The home as God designed it is a greenhouse. And you parents this morning have that great privilege and blessing and responsibility of growing those little plants, if you will, until they mature and they can stand on their own. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who had faith, and they passed that on to him. We're going to see in just a moment that a strong faith is what we need to be passing on to our children. A serious knowledge of the Word of God, in addition to learning those great things in life called math and science and English and history and Spanish and other types of things, we need to make sure that they're being schooled, as the proverb writer says, in the way that he should go. That's God's way. That's God's Word. That's God's work. And Timothy was blessed to have a mother and a grandmother who obeyed the gospel and passed that on to him. And we know nothing but good from Timothy and the Word of God. Timothy is extolled many places in the Word of God, and part of that is a credit to his mother and his grandmother. The home, as God designed it, is God's greenhouse. And you parents this morning, we as parents, we are the keepers of that greenhouse. We are working, and you're doing a great job, we're working to control that environment. There are many homes today where the door is wide open. The world is just flooding in, like we've seen some of these waters flood this past week. The world is just flooding in. The parents are not keeping the door shut. They're not protecting the environment. Just anything and everything comes in, and we see the devastation of it if you just turn on the news from day to day. Some of you who are working in the school system and teaching, you see it even without turning on the news. But the home can be a beautiful, protective greenhouse environment. And those things that are out there in the world, like for the plants, the freezing cold temperatures and the bugs and the blight and the disease, we can keep all of that out so those little plants can grow. Remember, the greenhouse is a place to keep the bad out and the good in. And you know, that's really what good parents are doing. Good parents can and must do that.
We know about evil companionships corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. We know that the bad is out there. And so we as parents are trying to be keepers of the greenhouse, and we're saying no to that. We're trying to keep that out. And I hope that our young people here today will understand that that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be a killjoy. We're not trying to be a downer all the time. We're not trying to just... We don't just get up each morning and, what can we say no to today? It's not like that, young folks. It's a protection. We see, we've lived it, we've experienced it some ourselves. We see the bad that's trying to get in, and we're saying no, and we're trying to help you grow. It's an awesome privilege and responsibility. And we see when young people grow up and become Christians and they marry Christians and they have a family of their own and they're faithful members of the church, we see that the greenhouse process worked. It works. And so keep doing it. It's difficult sometimes. You know, the Vanderhents, when they get up, boy, there's all kinds of work that's going on there. We used to take the children to school field trips there. You know, if you're a little kid in Robertson County, everybody goes to South Central Growers at least sometime in their life for a school field trip. You go in there, there's all kinds of work going on. It is difficult, but it produces those beautiful plants. And parenting is challenging and difficult from time to time, but it produces beautiful young men and women. So we're trying to keep the bad out. And we're trying to keep the good in. Abraham, Genesis 18:19, the Lord knew that He would command His children after Him in the way of the Word of God. The good of the Word of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and following, where you're talking about God's Word and way as you walk about and as you lie down and as you rise up, and it's on the lintel or the doorpost of your home. It's everywhere. God's Word is plastered everywhere. And as parents, we're trying to keep that good in. How can a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, verse 9. How? By taking heed to God's Word. And so if there is sin and wrongdoing in my life as a young person, how do I know where to come to and how to come back? It's going to be God's Word. And my parents, as parents, we're trying to keep the good in. You know, you drive by those greenhouses. The windows are not all open. All the doors are open. All the windows are open. Those panes that are up on the top, they're all wide open. What would be the purpose of a greenhouse? Every once in a while, they'll open a little bit here or there to control some things, but it's a closed environment. And so we're trying to keep the bad out and the good in. And so in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, one thing that's missing in many places in this country, the missing dad. Fathers, train up your child. Bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God's Word and God's way. And we do talk with our children about other kinds of things. Things that are going on at school and things that are going on in their hobbies and things that are going on in their lives. But we also are talking with them about the Word of God. And to our young married couples here this morning, that one day you're planning your family, you want to have children one day, think of yourselves as a greenhouse. You're going to be a greenhouse. That's God's way. That's God's protection from the evil environment that is around us. And so greenhouses are good, and we see the benefit of them. You know, in the home, there's a lot that we need to keep out. Our sin, sex-saturated society. It's everywhere. It's on our phone, it's on our laptop, it's on TV, it's in music, it's in movies, pornography, other kinds of things. It's everywhere. And we have to keep it out. We have to know what our young folks are looking at and listening to and watching on their devices and other things. It's not a matter of my mom and dad are just being mean. It's a matter of keeping this bad out that will flat destroy you and has the lives of many individuals. Know what they're looking at. Talk with them about that. Discuss that. Be in the know.
It's a part of being that greenhouse. There are a lot of anti-God messages today. Get rid of God, get rid of the Bible, get rid of morality. The
word morality is being used today in a non-religious way. We're borrowing Bible concepts and we're putting them on non-Bible things. You'll hear a lot about morality today, but it has nothing to do with what we know of God's Word. But anti-God's Word, anti-God Himself,
immoral character, bad language, improper conduct, it's everywhere. We've got to keep it out.
While those young children are growing and they become teenagers and they get up into the college years, there's going to be a time when they're out on their own and they can stand on their own. But they can stand on their own when we have been protecting that environment all along the way. They'll be able to say no to the things that they need to say no to. And they'll be able to say yes to the things that they need to say yes to.
And sometimes it might fall on us as grandparents. We have grandparents that are trying to be greenhouses, and that's a good thing too. Somebody needs to be a greenhouse. And so when that bad is out there, we're going to be in the know and help our young people say no to that. And we might need to change some behavior. We might need to change some attitudes and some practices and some things that we've been doing. And in order to do that, we might have to bite the bullet and do something drastic. But it'll be good for us in the end. I believe that there are parents here this morning that are being good greenhouse growers. And you're mindful of these things. And you're raising your children the way they need to be. And you're trying to keep the good in. We talk about reading God's Word daily. Why is that so important? Because it's a part of keeping the good in. It's not enough to keep the bad out.
In a greenhouse on the inside, you have to keep the temperature controlled and the climate controlled and maybe the humidity and the proper amount of watering and the proper amount of fertilizing. There are things on the inside that you have to keep going that is good.
And so we're talking about God's Word on a regular basis where we sit down and we read the Bible together and talk about that. And it may be a little challenging.
Sherry and I and Carlin are going through 1 Kings. And we've been reading about Solomon building the temple. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's kind of hard to get some practical lessons out of that. We read chapter 6 this past week. And it was all about, and he put a window over here, and he put a wall, and there was a beam over here, and there were three windows over there. And I'm thinking, okay, how do we get practical lessons out of that? Well, knowing Chris, you know, he's going to find at least one, right? So we found something to talk about. But
when we read God's Word together, then talk a little bit about it. And then there's time to go on, do your homework and something else. But we've got to keep the good in. And talk about character qualities of honesty and selflessness and serving others and generosity and kindness and courtesy and godly character qualities. We're trying to keep that in their life. And then as they get a little bit older, being baptized into Christ and becoming a faithful Christian. We're being greenhouses. And we're raising that child. The psalmist says that a man who has his quiver full of them, it's like having arrows in the hands of a mighty man. That child that God gave you, you're shooting him like an arrow. You're shooting him. You're directing him. You're pointing him in some way or another in life. Which way is that arrow going right now? We are a greenhouse. And let us raise those little baby plants into mature plants that stand on their own, those Christians that go out and stand on their own. But I want to talk about another greenhouse that God gives us. Do you know that the local church, as God designed it, where you're sitting right now, the group of people that you're sitting in right now and among and with is a greenhouse. The local church, as God designed it, is a protective environment. We get to come a few times a week, and we can come more when there's a gospel meeting, into a place where no one can hurt you spiritually. The devil is out. The world is out. You don't have to come in here and worry about somebody attacking you. We sang in our songbook, God's Family, and just about every line had the word together. Together we do this and together we do that. What is that, brother? It's a spiritual family, like the physical family, that is a greenhouse. And our elders are the keepers of the greenhouse. Do you remember one of the qualifications? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, one of the qualifications of elders is that they need to raise their children properly. And then the reason is given in verse 5. If a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, he wasn't a very good greenhouse keeper with his own children, how shall he take care of the church of God? He took care of his own physical family in a good way. Now he's ready to take care of a spiritual family. And then add in verse 15 to that. Look at verse 5 and then verse 15. Verse 5, verse 15. The church is the house of God, the children of God, the family of God, the household of God. It's another greenhouse environment. And our elders are the keepers of that greenhouse environment. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Like parents, our elders help keep things out, keep the bad out, and the good in. Do you remember when Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, and in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, he calls them bishops or overseers in verse 28, and he says, take heed, this is a warning, be vigilant about some things, just as parents, as we in our greenhouse, we're vigilant about keeping the bad out and the good in. Elders are vigilant, what? To all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in. Somebody's trying to get in. Something's trying to get in. And in that greenhouse, you've got the plants inside. Something's trying to get in there. It could be bugs, it could be blight, it could be cold weather, but we're going to keep it out. And so these grievous wolves are trying to enter in, not sparing the flock. And notice how they're described as wolves. Mason sent me a video yesterday, of a YouTube video, where a young man, and he sent it to me because Mason said, this is me in a few years. He looked just like him. But this past week he got attacked by a mountain lion. It was ripping his face apart and his arms. The wolf here in this verse is an animal that will flat tear you up. It's not a bunny rabbit. It's not a little gerbil. It's not a little hamster. It's a wolf. Grievous wolves. And so elders are going to keep that out. They will tear you up, spiritually speaking. And so they're keeping the bad out. But then jump down with me to verse 32. They're keeping the good of God's Word in. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified. You're sitting in a greenhouse right now. And we get to come back tonight, and we get to come Wednesday night. And when we do things as brethren throughout the week, even outside the assembly, we are a greenhouse. Think about Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, but stir or provoke one another unto love and good works. It's an environment where we're stirring up to love and good works. That's a protective environment. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul reminds the brethren at Corinth that they were not to be
biting and devouring one another, to borrow the language from Galatians, but to be hurting each other with their spiritual gifts, to be at odds with each other. Some of them had forgotten that. And they had to be reminded in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, that they're all in one body and the members care for each other. The members care for each other. And so, verse 26, whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. What is that? That's a protective environment. And whether one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, you see. The word together. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ is a greenhouse. And we're blessed to have elders who will watch over us in that protective manner. And good elders keep the bad out and the good in. They're not worried about numbers. They're not worried about social and recreational kinds of things. They're just wanting to keep the bad out and the good in. You know, not everybody is interested in that. There's all kinds of churches across town, across the state, across the nation and the world. The mega churches, big old kinds of things. Anything goes. Any kind of lifestyle goes. Any kind of character goes. Doesn't matter. There are some televangelists who are on record as saying, I don't use the word sin when I stand up and preach. Well, okay. You can have 30,000 members. Have a lot of folks, but you're going to have some sin in the camp. But that's not what's going on here at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're blessed to have those who watch over things and make sure, like a greenhouse, that we're in a protective environment. Think about the young people that are sitting here this morning. If our elders did not have a protective environment attitude in the Bible class or me preaching, we could tell them a lot of things that would just flat out mislead them. Young people are very impressionable. So our teaching is watched over carefully, the content of it, and the preaching and other kinds of things, because this is to be a protective environment. And I believe all of us as parents, we want to be able to bring our children and our spouses, and we want them to be able to come in here, and whether it's in the classroom or here, sit down and just trust that someone won't hurt them. It's a trusting environment. And it takes good elders to do that. And I'm glad that we have those men. I apologize that Daniel's not here to hear that. I'll tell him that later. I'll tell him I appreciate him too. I appreciate Bob and Clarence and Daniel being greenhouse keepers. That's what they are. When you look at the local church, there's all kinds of false teaching out there. There's all kinds of error. There's all kinds of unauthorized practices. There's division. There's people that claim to be members of the church and denominations that are living just flat out impure, immoral lives. And our elders are careful. We don't want that in here because it's a protective environment. We're trying to guard that. It's not open membership. It's not membership without questions. It's not membership without any kind of background check or anything. I find it interesting that in worldly types of relationships, we'll do more of a background check on things like that than we will in a church that has to do with eternal consequences. Some elders won't check anything. They won't, don't ask, don't tell, that type of thing. But the local church is supposed to be a greenhouse, a protective environment. And I'm glad that we have men that are mindful that there are such a thing as error and false teaching and so forth. And we know what it is and we don't want that in here. Remember Acts chapter 20. We're going to keep those grievous wolves out. And if they were to be among us on the inside, we're going to say we don't want that. Just like as parents, we're doing that at home. There's some things we don't want in our home. Those worldly things that are up, we don't want that in our home. And Warfield Boulevard is a home. It's a house of God. And I'm glad that our elders are doing that. And then they want to keep the good in. Anything dealing with God's truth, anything that's going to keep us active, that's one way that we know that we're alive, is if we're active. And so activity, keeping us busy, keeping us volunteering, keeping us serving. And pure, our personal lives. Sometimes brethren will say, well, now you've gone to meddling. You know, when the elders come by and they talk with us about this. Well, now you've just gone to meddling. No, our personal lives have to match up with the Word of God. We can't live two different lives where during the week we live one life and at the church but in another life. So personal purity and ethics and being unified. Spiritual assemblies where we're doing more than just going through the motions, but we're really concentrating on the singing when we're singing and really concentrating on the Lord's Supper and so forth. That's a part of keeping the good in. And so we're thankful for our elders who work with us in this greenhouse. And I'm glad that my wife and I and Carlin and my family have a greenhouse to come to. Because I'm telling you, it is a violent world. And we have two places where we can come, the home and the local church, where we can be protected from that. Do you know how that phrase today is being used? Safe zones. Have you heard that? Such and such is a safe zone. Some people are using that in a wrong way, and I won't get into all of that with regard to homosexuality and transgender. But there's actually signs that are being posted that such and such area is a safe zone. Do you know our house? We need to plaster that on our house. Safe zone. And then on that door back there coming into this church building, safe zone. That's what God wants, a protective environment. And I'm glad that there are homes here who are doing that, and I'm glad that our local church here is doing that. I wanted to share this with you before I close. In 1986, two authors, Stinnett and Dufresne, wrote a book titled Secrets of Strong Families. And when you see these six things, I want you to apply them to your own personal home. And I want our elders to apply it to the local congregation. They surveyed a number of homes that were strong. No divorce there, no split families, no economic problems and other kinds of problems. And they surveyed them, they talked with them, and they asked them, what is it that you have going on in your family that makes you strong? And they documented six things in this book. And here's what they are. Number one, families that show appreciation. They speak one to another and they say, thank you, mom and dad, for being mom and dad. Thank you, son and daughter, for being son and daughter. And they express their appreciation for the roles and the relationships that they are engaged in each day because it's difficult from time to time. It's kind of like the old guy that said, you know, never told his wife, I love you. And she asked him when they were just elderly, why didn't you ever tell me you love me? And he said, well, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. I told you once at the beginning, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know, kind of a thing. No, they need to hear it. We need to hear it. We need to show appreciation. And that keeps families together in the home and in the local church. Number two, spending quality time. And the emphasis there is on the word quality. We all spend time with our family. But is it quality, meaningful time to actually talk about things that are have a long-range, eternal consequence? There's time to talk about the weather and sports and what's on TV. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But do we talk about things that deal with heaven and being a Christian? And turn the technology off for a little bit and just have some quality time together. You've heard of that no phone zone? Can we have a no phone zone? And with members of the church, in and out of the building, quality time together. Can we work toward that? Commitment to each other. Husbands and wives committed to each other. Parents and children committed to each other. Elders and members of the church committed to seriously
being committed to a person's life and helping them to go to heaven, not just a casual, hello, how you doing? Good communication.
Talking. Keeping the lines of communication open. Not just assuming that somebody can read our mind. Not just assuming that they get the message. But talking back and forth. Between parents and children. Between elders and members. Spiritual health and wellness. It's great to be physically healthy. We eat right. We go to the gym. And we do this and we do that. All of that's great. But what about spiritual health and wellness? How's our prayer life? How's our Bible study? How's our attendance in being here, you see? Do we ever talk about spiritual things? Do we ever ride down the road in the car and we're talking with our kids about spiritual things? Or sitting around the table talking about spiritual things, you see?
That's really what keeps families strong and protected and keeping that bad environment away. And then finally, when there is a crisis, and they do come up, dealing with those in a godly, positive way and not quitting and throwing up our hands and just saying, well, let's just all quit. But working through that and staying strong. I wanted to share those things with you. They came from a couple of men outside the Bible. But if you look at those six things, you find that we could spend the rest of our time this morning looking at Bible passages that match all six of those. They're biblical principles. And so I wanted to share that with you, that in our personal homes and in the local church, we can have strong families like a greenhouse. Well, I want to close this morning by asking this question. Have you ever thought today why it is that so many people today need support groups? Did you ever hear of support groups 150 years ago? And by the way, I'm not belittling them. Let me hasten to say that there is a value in them. Some people need them when they don't have other things. There are Christians who are in counseling who work in these types of things. I know some of them personally. I'm not making fun of those things. I'm not saying that there's absolutely no reason for them. I want to be clear about that. But 150 years ago, did people go to support groups? You never read anything about that. What did they have? What did they have 150 years ago? Family and church. Family and church. Even if it was one that was not according to the New Testament, they had those two things. And when there was problems, and there have been problems since Cain and Abel. When there are problems, that's what helped them through that. But today, because of the breakup of the family, and because people aren't religious, they don't have a greenhouse. And so when a crisis hits, and some of them are very grave, they don't have anybody to turn to. They don't have a spouse that loves them. They don't have a loving mother and father. They don't have Christians that they can go to and elders that they can talk to and that type of thing. They don't have that. And so counseling and support groups have popped up over the past 50 years for all kinds of things, from alcoholism to other kinds of addictions and spouse abuse and those types of things. Again, I'm not saying that there's everything's completely wrong with that. I'm saying that as we remove the home from our life, we have scratched off one greenhouse that God gives us. And when we take religion out of our life, we've scratched off the other one. And the only thing left is just the world. So, knowing that, let's keep our family greenhouse strong at home and in the local church. God has already given us the support group we need. In Colossians 3, 18 through 21, it says that the husband loves his wife, and the children are obedient to the parents, and the father does not provoke them to bitterness. That is a caring, loving, protecting environment that even sometimes yes says no. Love doesn't allow everything. Sometimes love says no to the bad. But you read that. The way it's designed by God, it's a protective environment. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, you read that there. The local church, the kinds of help that you can get there if you will avail yourself to that. What is that? Admonishing the disorderly, encouraging the faint-hearted, supporting, there's your support group, supporting the weak, being long-suffering toward all. And there have been brethren here who have gone through deaths of family members and other difficult things, and when we come and we have our brethren talk to us, it helps us to get through those kinds of things. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. The way of the cross leads home. You can come and be baptized into Christ this morning. You'll be a part of God's greenhouse. And if you choose to work and worship here at Warfield Boulevard, you'll have a protective family that'll help you. And if you've had a mom and dad that have tried to talk with you about being baptized into Christ and they're Christians, they're trying to be a greenhouse to you and guide you through that way. And we could encourage you to come. There may be someone else that needs to come back. You're outside the greenhouse and it's violent out there. It's rough. It's wicked. It's worldly. Come back inside where the protection is. That's where God wants us to be. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?